Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, warmer from Evo! Welcome to Lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two, we are going to be having aboard Blake Lovell. He does tremendous work over at Southeastern 14. No shortage of things to talk about in the SEC right now. John Calipari was officially introduced as Arkansas's coach on Wednesday. Kentucky, they are currently conducting a coaching search, and apparently Scott Drew is getting people wanting him to make a decision while he's eating lunch at a Mexican restaurant to Big Blue Nation. So we've got a lot of that going on, so we're going to be talking with Blake about that, and I'm also going to be discussing with them how the SEC might be approaching this offseason. We recall last offseason after they had a lot of bad jump shooting teams towards the 2022-23 season, decided, you know what, we are going to put the defense a little bit more to the back burner, but we are going to be looking at bringing in a lot of guys that could pop it from three-point range, that could generate offense. Certainly did up out the conference this past season. Are they going to take a different approach? Are they going to be sticking with that as well? We will be asking our good friend Blake Lovell on that front. And then in the final segment, going to give you guys the news and notes that we did see in college basketball on Wednesday with guys entering into the transfer portal. And we saw a few guys decide where they're going to be going for the portal. But that said, you just take a look at the amount of guys that have currently entered in the transfer portal as I refresh Verbal Commits, who does an amazing job tracking all these. Right now, we're at 1,575 players in the transfer portal, and less than 200 of them have decided on where they're going to be going. And that includes guys that just decide, you know what, I'm going to pull my name out of the portal and I'm just going to go back to where I came. So certainly there is a lot to be decided on that front. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, because Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /X Timeline, @GNN_41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. Then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And certainly we're going to be taking a look at a lot of off-season notes, so do fire in those questions, because if you don't, I don't know necessarily what you guys want to be having me hit upon with regards to some of the specifics of getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. And sometimes I pick some good topics, sometimes we're a little bit off the mark, but I did want to touch upon today because many of you guys caught the John Calipari introductory press conference where he said, I met with the team and there is no team, and he's very astute there. I believe that all 362 Division I teams in some way, shape, or form, they are going to be affected by the combination of NBA draft decisions and the transfer portal. I don't know if we're going to see a single team be able to bring back the full roster that they have now. A lot of the pieces for some of these like lower slash mid-major teams, yeah, they might be in place, but they might lose that guy that was like their number three scorer, their number four scorer, and that's what I'm talking about as well. But with regards to just the college basketball landscape right now, something that you do want to be taking a look at, what guys are going to be going as perhaps a little bit of a package group? What guys are going to be following their coach from maybe a different stop? What guys are going to decide, you know what, my teammate went to this school, I'm going to go to this school as well? Because I do think that there's a lot of value in taking a look at that, because you notice that South Florida team from a season ago, many of those guys followed their coach in Amir Abdul-Rahim over from Kennesaw State to South Florida, one of the most profitable teams in all of college basketball. You were able to cover darn near two-thirds of your games with South Florida last season. They were just absolutely incredible on that front. If you're looking for an example from 2 years ago, I remember that Southern Miss team that was so profitable for you. Then they bring in Andre Curbelo this offseason, and that didn't necessarily go the world's greatest. Sorry to be that guy, but man, that's a team that was very, very off base, to say the least. But I remember during that 2022-23 season, I was able to get to the window on a lot of bets for Southern Miss. They were one of the biggest surprises in all of college basketball that season, and they had had a pair of guys in Felipe Haas along with Neftali Alvarez. They were both at Mercer at the time, decide both to transfer on over to Southern Miss. That worked out very well, and I do think that we're going to see quite a few examples of players that are going to be following their coaches. Like, I'm looking at the current St. Louis situation. Josh Schertz takes a job over there. You saw a bunch of players from Indiana State over the last 48 hours decided to put their name into the transfer portal. I don't think that would be far-fetched to think that some of those guys like Isaac Swole, perhaps you are able to get Robbie Avila, decide, you know what, I am going to be following my coach on over to St. Louis, and that'd be very, very beneficial for them. I think that this is something that goes a little bit under the radar, and I do think that chemistry is just such a big reason why we do see some of the teams really be able to rise up and some of the teams fail like they do. Like, we're going to be talking with Blake Lovell of Southeastern 14 in a few minutes, and we saw a lot of those teams that they just went full-fledged in the transfer portal this last offseason from the SEC have very lackluster years. Like, Missouri brought in a whole bunch of transfers, and I love Dennis Gates, but they went 9-23 against the spread with that approach. Arkansas, as we know, with Eric Musselman, they went into the transfer portal big time. 12-21 against the spread this last season. That was absolutely brutal. Meanwhile, you did have teams that they shifted around a few pieces, but you know what? They kept a lot of the chemistry, like Auburn, for example. Auburn out there in that same conference in the SEC. Sure, they brought in a few guys via the transfer portal, but Giannaia Broome, Jalen Williams, guys like this, they were back from last season, and they won 21-14 against the spread. I was very impressed by what Alabama was able to do with regards to the transfer portal, bringing in a few ancillary pieces, but a lot of those guys were honestly there from a season ago as well, like Mark Sears. He had gotten a year to be able to grow and develop in the system. I think that that is something that you do want to be taking a look at, because a lot of these teams that they're trying to build on the fly just doesn't necessarily pan out for them. Like, you take a look at, for example, Michigan. Michigan was just absolutely brutal this last season, and I do think that with Dusty Mays going to be taking a little bit of a different approach there. They went 8-24 against the spread, one of the biggest disappointments in all of college basketball, and it's not even like the expectations were over the moon for them. Meanwhile, you take a look at some of the more profitable teams in college basketball. You had a team like Pittsburgh, for example, who did a nice job of being able to keep a lot of pieces together. They did a nice job bringing in a freshman in Carlton Carrington, so they brought in a few pieces to accent the likes of Blake Hinson that were back from a season ago, 21-9-3 against the spread. UConn, 20-12 against the spread. They did a nice job being able to replace the pieces that they lost, but it's not like they went full-fledged into the transfer portal. They bring in Cam Spencer, which was tremendous, and Tristan Newton had come over 2 seasons ago, but he had a season in the system already. They were a very profitable team for you as well. Now, you are going to have some rebuild jobs in which you're going to be able to get a very profitable result out of them, like Cal State Northridge, 22-10 against the spread. But again, with Cal State Northridge, they hired on a new coach in the offseason and Andy Newman. And what did Andy Newman do? Brought over a few guys from his own Division II program, but really went to the Division II ranks. Went with guys that he knew, guys that he had already seen. They come up to the Division I level, boom, one of the most profitable teams in all of college basketball. The market really couldn't gauge how put together and how strong that team was, as CSUN wasn't like amazing on offense or anything like that. You didn't have a bunch of flamethrower three-point shooters, but the way that CSUN was able to cover games, they played good hard-nosed defense. They hit the glass. They knew what the heck they were doing. They were all on the same page. Those are the teams that could be very profitable for you. So I do want to be discussing topics like that. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. Like I said, if you've got a topic that you want me to dive into, question, comment, segment, idea, what have you, at gunit_81. As I mentioned on the show yesterday, if you're asking about like a specific team, if you're asking about like a specific guy in the transfer portal, I just recap all the news or notes of college basketball in the final segment. So I'm not going to like parse out 10 minutes to be like, oh, we saw a guy average 5 points per game over at Florida International last season. I'm not going to be going to that sort of extent or anything like that. That'll just be in the notes at the end of the show. But any sort of topic like this, anything that you want me to dive in on, anything that you're noticing, more than happy to parse it out here in segment number one. But coming up next, we do have to parse out what's all happening in the SEC, as very, very bizarre, to say the least, to see John Calipari in red. We're going to be talking about that next with Blake Lovell of Southeastern 14 and so much more right here on Coast Kids with myself, David Peterson, now of our DC Family Podcast.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market. As fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market. As fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back to the Bumpy Las Vegas for Jessica Soups with myself, Greg Eames Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man, it's Blake Lovell. He does absolutely amazing work over at Southeastern 14, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. Typically this time of year, Blake is able to get at the very least like 48, 72 hours of rest. But when you have a coach like John Calipari transfer within the conference going on over from Kentucky over to Arkansas. Well, technically, he's not transferring, but in, I guess for lack of a better term, he is sort of transferring. But that said, it is going to be a wild offseason out there in the SEC. Blake does an amazing job taking a look at this great game. And you're able to follow my Twitter at TheBlakeLovell. Last name is spelled L-O-V-E-L-L. And Blake, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, always enjoy it, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Blake. And my goodness, there was no sleep for you this offseason, as right when the Nets were cut down in Arizona, you had to go right back to work because John Calipari officially on Wednesday was announced as the Arkansas coach. We knew that this was coming for the last few days, but first things first, where does Kentucky go from here? Because there's all the rumors about, oh, will Billy Donovan be going there? Will Scott Drew be going there? Will Blake Lovell be going there? Like, it feels like every person on the face of planet Earth could be a candidate for this job. And Kentucky, they've got deep pockets. They've got a demanding but passionate fan base. And I do think that this is going to be one of the more interesting coaching searches that we've seen perhaps this century.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? They're starting a lot of big names. And I think that's what you expect in Kentucky. We knew if this ever happened, it would be a list filled with guys that have certainly accomplished some things. I think you look around just kind of at that group. Of course, Billy Donovan has kind of come out and said he's focused on the Bulls. You know, I think when you look at the rest of the situation, obviously, names being thrown out there, it seems like Scott Drew Could be someone who is their top target as we're talking now. Of course, that could change completely, Greg. We know how this works by the time this actually comes out. Hurley, of course, has mentioned, and there were reports out there that they're going to offer just an absurd amount of money. But, you know, he was also someone who said that he was fine where he was after winning back-to-back national championships. Really, it's just a matter of seeing which of those dominoes just are completely out of the mix. I guess the only one for 100% certain right now that we've seen is like a Nate Oates, who basically came out and said, hey, I'm staying in Alabama. He knew he would be someone as pretty much every job we talk about each year, Greg, if it's a high profile job. Nate Oates has always mentioned that's going to be the case moving forward after getting Alabama to the Final Four. I'm curious to see what happens here, because to me, it sounds like right now, this is really just a matter of seeing what happens with Scott Drew. If this is a situation where he says no, then I think this is going to be interesting to see where we go from here.
Absolutely. And that is where things are landing. Apparently, Scott Drew is being heckled when he's at Mexican restaurants trying to eat lunch as well. So that's something to watch out for. I'm hoping that that story was a hoax, because if I'm Scott Drew, I don't know if I would necessarily be wanting a job where I can't eat my tacos in peace. But that said, we shall see what happens on that front. And while we're all buzzing about Kentucky, where they might be going, and that's certainly speculation that is going to be going on until that vacancy is filled, we now know that Arkansas, they are going to be rolling with John Calipari as their coach. And I think the biggest question I have at this point, how many guys from Kentucky do you expect to be following John Calipari, whether that be incoming freshmen or guys that might have been a part of the Wildcats this past season?
Yeah, that's the big question right now. We knew that Kentucky's roster was going to look a little bit different next season with Cal there because of the guys going off to the NBA and such. But, you know, there were still a couple of those guys that it seemed like still unsure if they're going to go the NBA route. Of course, Aaron Bradshaw had already talked about how he, I think, was going to be in the transfer portal. Justin Edwards declared for the draft. Same with Rob Dillingham. You know, DJ Wagner was another guy we mentioned. You know, obviously, I think we know what to expect from Reed Sheppard and such. So, yeah, like, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, you know, Jaden Quaintance, the big top freshman five-star guy, like, he requested his release, you know, here on Wednesday. And so, I mean, my expectation would be, given the timing, maybe he winds up, you know, in a situation that surely it would be something where Cal would probably want this guy at Arkansas. But it remains to be seen. And, of course, something we've talked about over the past couple of days, it's Arkansas doesn't have much of a roster left. I mean, they don't have a lot of guys that are there. And so that becomes, okay, what happens to a, you know, a Caleb Battle, a Tremont Mark, guys like that. Because as we've said, Greg, if Calipari was going to fix it at Kentucky, he needs to try to fix it the same way at Arkansas in terms of how he builds his teams. And that is, to me, going out and getting more than just two older guys like they had this year with Antonio Reeves and Trey Mitchell. They got to have five at least of those kind of guys. And of course, you can combine them with a talented freshman, but you got to have more experience and you've got to have more guys that defensively are going to give you that level of defense that his teams have always had that have made it to like the Elite Eight and beyond. And that's just kind of been the missing piece for them. It seemed like they turned a corner offensively in terms of how he coaches offense this year. He let his guys be a little bit more free-flowing. They weren't just completely just standing around and watching everyone like it's seemingly been the case over the past several years. So I think you saw him adapt on offense. He needs to adapt and get back to what worked defensively. But the whole part of this thing has to be a team that's built around experience and not just relying on young guys to get it done.
Yep, no doubt about it. We're right now seeing all the reports of guys utilizing their COVID year as well. And I will follow up with this on that front as well as Blake Lovell, who's joining me from Southeastern 14, is right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. Do you think that Coach Calipari's style could be a little bit more successful once the COVID years do run out? Because those are going to be running out in the next year or two. We're seeing a lot of guys, they're going to be utilizing theirs for the upcoming 2024-25 season, but we've got one, maybe 2 years of runway left on those COVID years. And then from there, it goes back to the traditional 4 years. And then you've obviously got some guys that are going to be graduate transfers from there. But do you think that a part of the just issues that John Calipari is having in general is the current landscape of college basketball and guys being a year older than normal due to that COVID year?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's easy to forget that sometimes. Like, and just, you know, just say, all right, every team's got to be built with old guys, but it's like there are so many of those guys out there right now that it is something where you say, at least right now, you feel like teams need to be built just on experience because there are just so many guys who still have that extra year and all that. But sure, I think once you kind of see it go back to normal, if there's a word in college basketball anymore where anything's normal, but I do think you'll start to see that come back a little bit. And you know, like we said, too, that's opened up just the way this thing has played out over the past several years. It's opened up a lot more of these tournaments that have gotten to this point where you see some of these teams make these just ridiculous type runs that you don't expect. We need to count them on multiple hands now. Like, you don't just have to do it on one anymore, because there have been a lot of teams that have done this over the past several years. And so, yeah, it is going to kind of come back, I think, down a little bit. But, you know, I think the biggest thing still for Cal, it's just adapting to what you have to do to navigate, you know, a postseason and get through a tournament, whereas it is just a little bit different when you are in that regular season scenario where, you know, you have 5 days between games and all this other stuff where, you know, you don't have that luxury when you get to these tournament type settings. And I think that's where having a complete team that can do everything on both sides of the floor, that's still the most important part, whether they're freshmen, whether they're seniors or whatever. So it's going to be interesting to see how he continues to approach it even after we get through this sort of cycle here.
Yep, and everyone is enveloped on how John Calipari is going to be building his roster, how things are going to be looking for Arkansas in general. But how do you think the entire SEC is going to be going about this offseason? Because we did see in the SEC just a heightened importance on being able to score, because you just notice it with some of these teams like Florida, Alabama was able to make the Final Four. Kentucky was certainly at the forefront of this. These teams weren't really playing a lot of defense, but they were absolutely incredible on offense. It was good enough for Alabama to be able to make the Final Four. But as we know with Kentucky, they lost to Jack Kolke in Oakland, who knows, maybe Jack Kolke changed the entire landscape of the SEC. Who would have thought a D2 transfer from Hillsdale would be doing that? But how do you think these SEC teams will be approaching the offseason? Do you think it's going to be much more of what we saw this last offseason, bringing in guys like Dalton Connect, bringing in a lot of shooters that don't necessarily play the world's greatest defense? Or do you think that there might be a little bit more importance on the defensive side of things? Because I feel like perhaps this past offseason, we saw a little bit of an overcorrection after the SEC 2 years ago just couldn't hit shots to save their lives all across the conference.
Yeah, that was interesting. I think I looked at KenPom after the season or whatever, and no, I don't think it's no surprise. The top seven SEC teams, they all finished in the top seven. Like, that was kind of how it unfolded. And so you look at it that way and you're thinking, man, they did really good. Of course, the top two teams in terms of, like, you know, Tennessee and Auburn, they were the two best defensive teams too. And they were just fine there. And then you kind of have the outlier, Mississippi State, who finished a little bit further down. But I think it is pretty clear that you're seeing some of these teams, like you said, look at what Todd Golden's done with Florida offensively. They're going to kind of be that sort of team moving forward. And like I mentioned, I mean, you're seeing what Alabama always is when they're on offensively. This is what they can be. Auburn, you know, kind of took a big step, I thought, offensively. Of course, Kentucky, we talked about them. And so I think it's one where it's still a matter of how do you build the complete team? Because like you said, there were just a lot of teams this year that relied on offense. Some teams just said, hey, we're going to take our chance defensively, see what happens. It managed to get Alabama to the Final Four, but that's not been the norm. That has just historically not been something that a team like that gets there based on having that big of a discrepancy between offense and defense. And so still, I think, you know, you're going to be looking at teams that with the coaches that are in place, they're going to still be teams, I think, that rely heavily on getting up and down the floor, playing their offensive style the way we see. You know, you can't obviously play just like Alabama, but just the tempo that you see Auburn play with, and of course, Tennessee and Kentucky, which now will be Arkansas. Like, I think you're going to see that same style, because these are what these coaches were hired for, right? When you think about it, why did Alabama get Nate Oates? Because they saw the style. It was all, you know, hey, let's put up a lot of points. We're going to be very entertaining to watch, and we'll find a way to make it work defensively. We saw it last year, right? I mean, they were so good defensively last year, and we thought that would be the team that would make the, you know, the Final Four. It didn't end up happening, but now I think you just look at this whole situation, and I'm curious to see how these other teams kind of evolve, because, right, you're talking about the teams like LSU, Chris Beard at Ole Miss. What kind of team does he put together offensively? Because they struggled a little bit. They were better than I thought they'd be this year, but they still want to try to get to that same level that all these other teams are. So yeah, roster building in this era, you know, it's a different thing every single year. And not even to mention, right, Greg, like, Missouri's got a top five recruiting class coming in. Vanderbilt's got Mark Byington, who we know is going to play a very appealing style of offense in the way they play. So I think you're seeing that's just kind of the way things have become. And that's where, you know, you start to look at teams like Mississippi State, Texas A&M, who just sort of have played a little bit of a different way. Is that going to be able to continue to be, keep them in this kind of mix in the SEC, especially, as we said, now they got Texas and Oklahoma coming in too.
Yep, absolutely. And it is going to be interesting with Texas and Oklahoma coming, as Blake Lovell of Southeastern 14, which I wouldn't doubt it if it's Southeastern 16 by the time we're doing our SEC preview in several months from now. It's going to be right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I do think that that's such an interesting dynamic. And I do want to discuss that with you as well, because you mentioned Mark Byington, the fact that he's going to be going over to Vanderbilt. You mentioned the fact that Missouri just could not get right all season long. They won as many games in the SEC as the two of us. They've got a really good class coming in. But we recall the team that was said last year in the 2022-23 season, South Carolina, fell short in the NCAA tournament, but they had a tremendous year out there in the SEC. They were able to go from being one of the most sorry power conference teams out there to being in the NCAA tournament. Just with the nature of the SEC, how easy is it to be able to go from a bunch as towards the bottom of the pack in the conference to be able to rise up? Because we saw a lot of volatility in the conference this year. Look, case in point, at the team that just made the coaching hire in Arkansas.
Yeah, it's getting a lot harder, isn't it? Because we always say it's like someone has to finish 1 through 14. Well, now someone has to finish 1 through 16. And like you mentioned, I mean, Missouri just, wow, we would have never expected them to go 0-18 in the conference, but they did. And now they're going to have to rely on certainly, you know, getting a good transfer group in to go around this class that Dennis Gase has brought in. And you would think that's certainly going to equal more wins, but it's just a matter of how many more, because it is so challenging now. And like you said, it's like Arkansas, who was the team that finished near the bottom, surprisingly, now goes out and gets John Calipari. I don't think Arkansas is going to be 16-17 next year and 6-12. In the conference. I just see that highly unlikely. I don't think Kentucky's going to be there no matter who they hire. They're still going to be just fine. And then it's the same thing. It's how are you going to be able to set yourself apart and find an advantage against Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, probably. I don't think Florida's going anywhere. You know, Buzz, even if they have some ups and downs, they're always going to be right there. What Jans is doing at Mississippi State, you know Chris Beard's going to get things rocking at Ole Miss. I mean, he did it to start the year. They just couldn't finish. So, yeah, it's like, where do you put all these teams? And that does make it very challenging now for a Mark Byington like at Vanderbilt, because let's call it what it is. Like, it's a matter of how much are you given the opportunity to succeed. Even if you're hired to coach at an SEC school, you know the kind of money that's being thrown around at a bunch of other schools. And it's like, you know, John Calipari, he goes from Kentucky where he had anything he wants. Well, guess what? Now he's going to go to Arkansas where he's going to have anything he wants. And so it's going to be the same kind of scenario, is how do you compete? And unfortunately, like, it is becoming a situation where, yes, you have a South Carolina that sort of just comes out of nowhere this year, but that has been more of the outlier than the norm. And so for teams like Vanderbilt, teams like Missouri, Georgia, right, a team like that, they're trying to sort of fight their way up. LSU kind of did a little bit this year, you know, made some strides, but they still weren't an NCAA tournament team. How do they get to that point to where they're able to get up there and move beyond what a Rick Barnes, a Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates, and everybody else in front of them has done consistently now for many years? And it's not an easy task.
No, it certainly is not. And a lot of it is going to be coming down to what you're going to be able to get in the offseason and the transfer portal. And Blake, I think that you'd agree with me. Way too early to speculate on winners and losers of the transfer portal thus far, because we got north of 1,500 players in there. Less than 20% of guys have made up their mind. So we're going to be seeing that a lot more in the coming days, coming weeks. Few decisions have been made other than guys that have decided, you know what, I'm going to enter into the transfer portal. But with that said, we've talked about the Mark Byington news. We've talked about John Calipari, the fact that he is going over to Arkansas. But has there been a few other coaching hires that have really been catching your eye this offseason, whether that be to the positive or the negative? Because we've had a very active coaching cycle, and one that might be getting all the more active based on what Kentucky does here in the next few days. But we've seen a lot of movement, and I take a look at the landscape, and there's been very few coaching hires. I take a look and I think, man, this has been a bad hire. I think a lot of programs have really gotten it right this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, I think everyone knows the stakes these days, especially when you think about not just needing to make a move, but needing to make it pretty quickly and get it right, like by doing that. And I think that's where, you know, you start to see some of these teams. And of course, it really is just a matter of what opportunity are you giving these coaches once they get there. And I think there's a lot of interesting ones out there in terms of just seeing how they're going to pan out. I mean, I think the one that may wind up being one of the more underrated ones of the entire cycle, which I don't know if some people would consider it underrated, but I think Josh Schertz at St. Louis is a tremendous hire. I think he is someone that certainly, like, again, if you're talking about a Vanderbilt or place like that, I think they would have loved to have someone like that. Just, again, the mind that that guy has and the way he plays. Of course, we talked about them multiple times this season. You know, they played Alabama earlier in the year, and then, of course, they made the run in the NIT and such. But I think he was someone that you just sort of look at now, what he's going to be able to try to do there at St. Louis and continue to kind of make his way up. It seems like there's a lot of people in this profession that think he's going to have an opportunity to do a great job there. I think Kyle Smith at Stanford's interesting. That was kind of a program. It feels like it needed a resurgence, and we know what he was able to accomplish at Washington State. Now, you know, you go to Stanford, certainly a different era with the Pac-12 going the wrong way, but I'm curious to see what he does there. I mean, it's the same with Musselman, right? I mean, I think this is a great fit for Mus at USC. And to me, I think it's probably going to wind up leading the USC being a pretty prominent program moving forward, just based on how good he's been. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of ones like that. Danny Sprinkle at Washington, and, you know, even like a Jared Calhoun, I think is kind of an underrated hire at Utah State. He's always someone talked about at Youngstown State, and felt like talking to him when I was doing the Horizon League for Blue Ribbon and such, he was always someone that was able to get talent in there and have a chance to really have success. And so I'm curious to see what he does at Utah State. But I'm with you, Greg. Like, it was just a situation where you've seen a lot of moves. And, you know, it seems like we're in that phase now where you're seeing guys like that get that opportunity to take the step up. We talked about Byington and these other guys now getting a chance to prove themselves at that next tier. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely. And we've been noticing a lot of these guys that recently came up from the D2 level, because Josh Schertz, he was over at Lincoln Memorial just a few short seasons ago. We know what Danny Sprinkle has been able to do. He was able to work his way up going from Montana State to Washington over the course of 2 years. I mean, there have been a lot of fast risers in this industry, and Blake, you're certainly one of them as well. You do amazing work over there at Southeastern 14. I know you guys are going to do an amazing job this offseason. Now you add Texas and Oklahoma to the agenda as well. Now that the nets have been cut down, next time we see games out there in the SEC, those two teams are going to be in the conference as well. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, always appreciate it, Greg. Like I said, you can find us on YouTube, Southeastern 14. And yes, we will be Southeastern 16 here very soon. So you can also search for that as well. So you'll find us one way or the other. So check us out on YouTube. Yeah, still covering lots of basketball stuff in the offseason, of course. It never stops and all that. So yeah, everything else, you can find me on Twitter at TheBlakeLevel.
And hey, soon enough, it might be Southeastern 20 with the way that college basketball and sports in general are going. Like, the Big Ten certainly does not have 10 teams anymore. But that said, Blake, he does absolutely amazing work taking a look at this game of college basketball every single time he joins us. Always lends great insight. So big thanks to Blake for joining me right here on Cuscus Hoops, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. And coming up next, saw a lot of guys enter into the transfer portal on Wednesday. We'll recap all the news and notes we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours next.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Tuscan Soups with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. It was great to be able to get Blake Lovell aboard. He does tremendous work over at Southeastern 14, which I'm sure that is going to be updated as something else like Southeastern 16 here in the coming months, but he does an amazing job taking a look at this conference as currently dealing with some craziness. Will it be Scott Drew that takes over at Kentucky? Will they be going after Billy Donovan? Will they be going after Greg Peterson? Only time will be able to tell that, and it certainly is going to be a big name out there, so I would be very, very surprised if it is going to be one Greg Peterson, but a man that is a big name and a man that does amazing work taking a look at this board is Blake Lovell. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you the news and notes that we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours. Did see some top flight scorers decide that they were going to be entering into the transfer portal. It is another transfer portal trip for Kerry Oquendo. He began his career over at Georgia first 2 years, was a double-figure scorer for them. A little bit more in the background last season over at Oregon, was only able to average 7 points per game, but was a little bit more efficient than his first 2 years at Georgia. While Georgia shot about 27% from three last year, more around 33%. From distance, he gave way a little bit more to guys like Jermaine Cuisinart and company, but certainly someone that I felt like was able to come into his own a little bit more last season. Coming off the bench, it was a relatively solid role for him. I think that he's more set up for a bigger role this time around rather than when he was on a Georgia team that didn't have a lot around him. So that is going to be a very interesting name out there in the transfer portal. And part of the reason why Purdue had so much success this past season was the fact that they really did not lose anyone via the transfer portal. Well, you got Mason Gillis now in the transfer portal. Not one of their top scorers, but someone who's been consistent for them each of the last 4 or so years. He began his career during the 2020-21 season after redshirting year, so I believe this is his COVID year that he's going to be utilizing, but averaged about 5.2 points per contest in his first year, and then has been between 6.4 and 6.8 points per game each of the last 4 seasons. Shot 46.8% from 3-point just last year, 4 rebounds per game. On a different team, you have to think that as a 6'6", a little bit of a do-it-all player, he would be someone that would be a top-flight option for them. I don't know if he would necessarily succeed in that role, but I know that there are many mid-major programs. There might be some programs at the power conference level that would love to have him be a double-figure scorer for them. So that is something to watch out for. Mongolian Mike Sherzhamets, hopefully I said that correctly, He was over at San Francisco this last year. He has entered in the transfer portal, and this is going to be one that is so fascinating because he's not necessarily a flamethrower scorer or anything like that. He was putting up over at San Francisco this last year about 8 points per game, but at 6'8", he just does a little bit of everything. Gave out about 2.7, 2.8 assists per contest, shot 36% from three-point range, relatively good plus defender with nearly a steal per contest, was a starter for them a season ago, and certainly is helping grow the game. He's like the first player from Mongolia to really make it out in the college basketball level, so you have to think that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on him, and this is one of the best scorers, just pure scorers out there in the transfer portal as well. Georgia Southern's Tyron Moore has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Now, Georgia Southern was not good this last season. They just couldn't get wins up on the board, but for Moore, he was able to give you more. He logged for the team about 17 points per contest, began his career at the junior college level. We've been seeing a lot of guys from the junior college level come down and have success. Chipped in their three assists, steal per contest, shot 40% from three-point range, which, given the absolute inefficiency of Georgia Southern, that was massive for them. Now, Stan's just 5'11", so if he does go up to the Power Conference level, you do have to figure that that might be a little bit of an issue for him, but that is a big-time name out there in the transfer portal. And this one, I think, could be interesting as well. Not necessarily the most well-rounded player, but if you're looking for a bit of a microwave scorer, someone that's able to give you points that has been a part of a Power Conference program, Brandon Housen is one to take a look at, a former top 75 recruit from the class of 2022, according to most of those recruiting organizations. Housen last season was over at Villanova, shot 39.5% from three-point range in his 2 years at Nova, gave you up 6 points per contest this last year. Again, really doesn't do a whole heck of a lot other than shoot threes at about 6'4", but shoots them relatively well. There's going to be a lot of programs that are going to be in on him, and I do think that there's a lot of programs that they should be taking a look there. I know that the game of basketball has turned into just doing a little bit of everything, celebrating the triple-double and everything like that, but having someone like Housen, who's able to come in off the bench, he's able to pop those threes, I think that that would be good for them as well. This was a gentleman that was a part of the NC State Final Four team, but just could not get out there on the floor in general. Cam Woods, he is currently in the transfer portal for Woods. He was having a tough time being able to play because he was one of those two-time transfers, began his career at Troy, was at North Carolina A&T, only played 13 games for NC State, averaged 1.3 points per contest, really didn't see much action at all during the stretch run of the season. That said, if you look back at what he did during his season at North Carolina A&T 2 seasons ago, was their top scorer, 17 points, 4 boards, 3.5 assists, 1.5 steals per contest. Granted, it was an A&T team that did relatively nothing, but being able to get a guy like that in the transfer portal, especially if you're a lower mid-major, I think that that would be very beneficial. So that is one to take a look at. And then we did see another bench piece from Purdue, much like Mason Gillis, enter into the transfer portal, and that would be Ethan Morton. And it's very rare, which you see someone like an Ethan Morton just take a little bit of a step down with regards to their production, but that certainly was the case. And for Ethan Morton, he just could not get out there on the floor this last season. Someone who was a starter during the 2022-23 season, granted, it's not like he was putting up massive numbers during that 2022-23 season, average just under 4 points, 3 boards, 3.5 assists per contest, but he logged 10 minutes per game, averaged less than a point per contest, has shown that at the college level, he can be a stabilizing force out there in the backcourt, not going to be someone that I would envision being a double-figure scorer, though we have seen guys like this be able to go down to the more mid-major level, be able to have quite a bit of success, but that is something that I'm taking a look at with him. He is out there in the transfer portal, and we have been noticing, unlike a offseason ago, quite a few of these guys from Purdue, they have decided that they're going to be entering into the transfer portal. You've got Cedric Howard, who is currently in the transfer portal as well. With Howard, he was the top scorer over at Eastern Washington, a bunch of, it just fell short of being able to make the NCAA tournament, but he was able to come in and gave the team great production with about 15.5 points. He actually began his career at the non-D1 level over at Willamette College, as out there in the Pacific Northwest. And we've been noticing a lot of these West Coast schools bringing in these guys at these top flight D2, D3 programs out there in the Pacific Northwest, have a lot of success, shot 38.5% from 3-point range, 89.5% at the free throw line at 6'6". Now, granted, he was out there in the Big Sky, and in the Big Sky, you're not playing against the world's greatest defenses. We're just going to call it what it is, but he's got a nice skill set. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on him, and you have to wonder what is going to be happening with Otario Morris. He is officially now in the transfer portal, had a lot of things happen with him off the court, so It's going to be a roll of the dice for whoever brings him in, but was a former top 40 recruit. Had some level of production two seasons ago over at Texas. Wasn't necessarily amazing with regards to the amount of production that he had, but certainly that is a name that I think that there might be some schools that they roll the dice on him, whether you agree slash disagree with how the situation off the court is being handled with his situation. But that is certainly one to take a look at. And then I take a look at something like this. Owen Dizé, he was playing over at Texas A&M Corpus Christi this last season at 6'8", was a part of one of the more underrated defenses in all of college basketball. Not someone that's going to light it up from three-point range or anything like that. Shot about 29% from the outside, but was a rock-solid defender. 7 points, 3.5 rebounds, was a starter for a Corpus Christi team that, in my opinion, was one of the more underrated mid-majors out there in all of college basketball. Has a good nose for the ball, has good versatility. That is someone that is going to be out there in the transfer portal as well, so I'm watching out to see where he's going to be going. And right now, we've got a whole bunch of entrance into the transfer portal. Not a lot of guys that are coming out of the transfer portal. Caleb Lohner, someone who was over at Baylor this last season when he was over at BYU a few seasons ago, was a rock solid player. Just could never really find his footing at Baylor. Now, we are waiting to see what Scott Drew is going to be doing on the front of Baylor as well. But for Mr. Lohner this last season, only 2.5 points, 2.5 rebounds per game. When he was transferring over to Baylor, I was wondering how that fit was going to be because I mean, he was putting up like 7 points in that neighborhood, about 6-7 rebounds per game while he was over at BYU, which those are solid numbers, but typically you don't see a guy like that go on over to a program like Baylor and just be able to put up these Mondo numbers and be able to elevate. That was the case for him as well, so do have to wonder what his outlook is going to be. Modestus Kokelis, he is going to be in the transfer portal once again. Began his career at Creighton and just was all sorts of banged up while he was over at Creighton and was able to find a nice home when he was over at Cal State Bakersfield. Meet for the Roadrunners, as the Bakersfield Roadrunners had a little bit of a rough go of it this past season, and he was pretty much the only guy that could pull in a rebound for the team. He averaged 6.5 points, 6.1 rebounds per game. Nobody else on the roster averaged north of 4 rebounds per game. Came in as a former like top 200 recruit coming over from overseas, I believe Lithuania, if memory serves me correct. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes via the transfer portal, and then a double-figure score over at Utah Valley. Drake Allen, he is going to be in the transfer portal as well. Part of a Utah Valley team that was just absolutely miserable from three-point range, but Allen, he was still able to do a solid job, be able to muster up double figures. You do have to figure that he's going to look for a little bit of a bounce back with the outside shooting when he was over at Southern Utah 2 seasons ago. Shot 35.5% from three. That was down to 23.2% this last season. Did a nice job of being able to throw out the ball, but certainly that took a little bit of a fall off as well. But this one is interesting as well. Keshawn Pryor. He began his career over at Boise State, went down to the non-D1 level at Northwest Florida State, resurfaced with South Florida this last season, and he put up nice numbers, 13 points, 8 boards. He was the only guy for South Florida that legitimately could be able to give you a rebound, so he is going to be very much a coveted guy in the transfer portal. Really didn't see a whole heck of a lot of commits on Wednesday. We're waiting to see where a lot of these guys are going. So next few days, I think that it's going to be a lot of guys where it's like, yeah, they've entered into the transfer portal. So we shall see which teams are actually going to be going on the attack, as you know that Arkansas is going to be, after the John Calipari quote from last night saying that he met with the team and there was no team. So we're going to be getting a lot of that is going on right now. And then in terms of a few other guys that they did enter in the transfer portal, which I will say at some point, I do think that it might be easier to mention which guys aren't in the transfer portal rather than which guys are actually in the transfer portal. We also did see the entry of Monar Hima. Hopefully I said that correctly. The 6'11 center from Syracuse. Really didn't get a lot of burn for this team, but that said, at 6'11, 230 pounds, began his career over at Duquesne. Could be a little bit of an impact guy, and we are starting to see some NBA draft decisions start to trickle in. Tyler Kolek, no surprise here. He has decided that he was going to enter for the NBA draft, but he is not going to be maintaining his eligibility. He is as good as gone. Was one of the best point guards in all of college basketball this last season. 15 points, 5 boards, 7.5 assists per contest. He was the 2022-2023 Player of the Year out there in the Big East. You could tell when he was on the court versus when he was off the court. Just a massive impact in general for this Marquette team. So that's certainly something that is going to be missed. And with Oso Ogudero currently in the NBA draft as well, I do have to think that Marquette might need to enter into the transfer portal a little bit more this offseason. I know that Shaka Smart has been someone that has not really entered it too much. As a matter of fact, I think the only guy they really entered into the transfer portal to grab is Tyler Kolek. So he's batting really well in terms of being able to spot talent in the transfer portal. But I do think that this year we're going to be seeing many more guys coming in from other places to Marquette. And then we did see one gentleman decide on where he is going to be going in terms of the transfer portal. Christ Adesanko, he was over at St. Joe's this last season. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Providence. This is a relatively solid get, in my opinion, for Providence. He was at 7 feet tall for St. Joe's last year. Pretty good. He was able to give the team in that neighborhood about 7.5, 8 or so points per contest. Did a nice job being able to be one of the main rebounders for this team with about 6 boards per contest. He's able to give you a block. He's able to pop threes as well at about a 37% clip. So that is going to be something that is going to be beneficial for a Providence team that was able to have a relatively nice year this past year. I was very humbly surprised on how they were able to turn the corner with Kim English. Weren't quite able to make the NCAA tournament, but I do think that there is quite a bit of upside there. And then you did see Max McKinnon decide that he is going to be transferring on over to Portland. Has been a rough last two seasons for Portland after season number one under the tutelage of Shante Liggins. They were able to get going very, very quickly, but last year for McKinnon, shot 36% from three-point range over at Elon, 12 points, 4 boards, right around about 2.5 assists per contest. I believe that he's actually from the country of Canada, so not really from the East Coast, not really from the West Coast, so we shall see what is going to be happening on that front, and we should get many, many more guys that decide where they're going in the transfer portal in the coming days and coming weeks, and we're going to be keeping you guys informed on all those decisions right here on Coast to Coast Hoops Now, part of the VSiN Family Podcast. A big thanks to Blake Lovell, who does great work over at Southeastern 14, for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /xtimeline at @GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated, and then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review coming at you guys every single day on this podcast. That is regular season and off season, so we'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season 1 or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. we dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.